Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
A Star is Born
by watching Dinah Shore.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Jim.
It's day two of our Chuck Prophet interview.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. I cracked a fresh beer for this.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with him, didn't we?
So good. Yeah, really worth the trip. What a nice guy. Very accommodating and very funny and entertaining. And I get the feeling if we had stayed there for 2 hours, he would have stayed there for 2 hours talking to us too, which is great.
I think he would,
very
too.
Very relaxed.
I don't think we've had an interview yet, whether it's been the new show or the old show, where people have not been nice, right? I mean,
right.
I think, you know, you hear so much about, you know, rock musicians and just sort of being like standoffish and jerks and difficult and all of that. But
yeah,
we haven't encountered that yet. Maybe they just don't come on, they don't do interviews, right?
That's right. I mean, except for Patrick Stickles.
Oh, he was great.
I'm just kidding. I think that guy from Sparks wanted to punch me because I mixed up my Sparks albums that one time. Nah, he was really good too. You're right.
So Chuck was just great, and we interviewed him at in a hotel lobby. You may hear a little bit of background noise, but that's okay.
Yep.
It sounds pretty good. That was really fun. I think he was actually locked out of his hotel room by his wife, who's in this touring band. Didn't he say something like that? Like, she's gone, and
that's right. I don't have the room key. Yeah, so he was walking around the lobby drinking coffee and stuff. But
looking like a rock star,
looking
too,
like,
the way he was dressed.
Well, that was the thing we joked about. We're like, how will we recognize him? As soon as he walked into the lobby of the Spring Hill Suites, there was only one person that could have been Chuck Prophet, believe me. Yeah.
All right. If you didn't hear part one of the interview, go back and listen to that. This is part two. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
In this part, we talk a little bit. Well, we had talked a little bit about one of the songs on his new album. The new album is called Bobby Fuller Died for Your Sins. And there's a song in there that I think we both really liked called Bad Year for Rock and Roll.
Bad Year for Rock and Roll. Mm-hmm.
And he talked about, it references David Bowie dying. But other than that, it's sort of about the year, I guess, kind of like socially, culturally, politically. It's not really about like sort of all the people who have died in 2016, which obviously was a big sort of theme of that year.
That's right. And he feels, I think, a little bit, and you'll hear him talk about this a little bit, that it sort of got pigeonholed as that, but that's
right.
Not what it was about.
No, it's not.
Right.
But it does have one of the great lines, I think, that both you and I can relate to, which is something in the effect of, I want to go out, but I'll probably stay home.
That's right.
How often does that happen?
You know, all the time.
A lot. Okay. But we asked him about another celebrity death. We asked him, which happened in 2017, we asked him about the recent passing of Chuck Berry,
whom he once played a show with.
Yes.
Great story.
And it was great. So this is what he had to say. Enjoy this interview with Chuck Prophet.
Well, the thin white dude took a final bow. There's one more star heavens now. The moon won't rise, the sun won't set. There's so many things I would rather forget. And I'm all dressed up in my mohair suit, watching Peter Sellers, thinking of you, wondering where it's all gonna end. It's been a bad,
speaking of musicians we have lost, we did just lose Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
Any reflections on that?
Oh, man, so many. I mean, you know, when I was like probably 10 years old, my neighbor had the 45 of my Ding-a-ling, which, you know, it's pretty good. I just listened to it again recently.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Okay.
I think it's really smart.
It's a wacky record that you instantly recognize. Yeah.
And, you know, I was learning to play guitar, you know, like at CYO camp, and somebody said, oh, what you need to do is, you know, you need to learn Chuck Berry. You know, this is Chuck Berry. And to the point where I rode my bike down to Whitwood Music in Whittier. And back then, they used to have these listening booths, right? And so behind the counter, there were like six turntables. And if you brought a record up to the counter, they would open it and they would put it on one of the turntables. Like, oh, turntable, you're in booth number five. And you nice. Could go into the booth and you could listen to the record. And I went in there several times to listen to like Chuck Berry's greatest hits, you know, just trying to crack the code, you know. I was thinking there might be some kind of shortcut and I wouldn't have to learn music, you know. Right. It turns out it kind of worked, you know, because everything Chuck does is very modular.
Yeah, yep.
And if you learn a couple of them, you can kind of move them around and, you know, you hear it everywhere. I heard it on the first Sex Pistols record. I was like, man, he's just playing Chuck Berry.
That's right.
This is going to be easy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in.
And, of course, you know, I think when I first started writing songs, you know, I wanted to be whatever. I don't know. I wanted to be Dylan-esque or, you know, I didn't, you know. And Chuck had the ability to make sense without making too much sense. You know, yeah. His poetry was in the fact that it was stripped of all the poetry.
Right. Right.
And there's always some detail or some new thing to learn from a three-chord Chuck Berry song.
Yeah.
And so he's never let me down. And I was lucky enough to meet him and play at the American Masters tribute to him and interact with him a little bit.
Saw that on Instagram.
He was as weird and difficult and charming mischievous as you could ever hope.
Right.
You know? To me, he was sort of like, I don't know if you know the character of the Grinch, you know, but as soon as he came in the building, he had that captain's hat. He's all kind of, you know, just you knew he was trouble,
right.
And you just couldn't look away, you know. So yeah, I mean, I could go on about Chuck Berry for a while. In fact, my guitar player and I yesterday in Pittsburgh, we put Johnny B. Goode on, and we had a little bit of an argument. I said, "Oh, that's two guitars right there. That's two guitars. See, starts with the one." He goes straight to the rhythm halfway through the lick, and then that's the overdub. You could tell because it's dry. Because the other one you could hear in the drum mics, and oh my God. And then we even went as far as saying, like, his A string, a little bit flat on Johnny B. Goode on the rhythm guitar. And so I'd be interested if
this
anybody.
Is from one listening or
yeah,
two?
Several.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'd be interested if anybody would want to follow up on that.
Sure.
Feel free to tweet me.
We're going to take a little break here.
Mm-hmm.
Your little promotional announcement. We're going to come back and Chuck Prophet's going to talk about the music business and one of his early inspirations, seeing something very inspiring on television. Hey, Patrick.
Hi, Jim.
I am looking at some of the reviews that people left us on iTunes.
Oh, so you can go to iTunes and review.
You can review any podcast, but the one that we would hope you would review is called Rock in the Suburbs.
That should be your first review.
And look, there's some people on here. This is some things they had to say.
Okay.
For instance, Mr. Brown says, great music chat. On the whole, Jim and Patrick are just two guys talking about music.
True.
Mm-hmm. But they succeed in maintaining interest by their obvious, sincere interest in music across all genres.
Wow, that's nice.
Not just Rock in the Suburbs. Mm-hmm. We're also, you know, talking about other stuff too. But anyway, let me get back to Mr. Brown. They aren't trying to show off how many cool artists they can reference, although I know you can a lot, or tear things down with rapier snark. No, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about what they like and why they like it. Their casual approach and charm make it worth listening to and coming back for more.
Wow, that's a fabulous thing to say, Mr.
Thanks,
Brown.
Thanks, Mr. Brown. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And here's another one from Echo Park Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Subject line, addictive, insightful musicopia.
Whoa.
Big words. I like that. Jim and Patrick serve daily nuggets of wisdom about every song under the sun, maybe on Earth.
Ooh.
Addictive bites of insight and advice on what tunes to immediately add to your streams. Thanks, Echo Park Jimmy.
That's beautiful.
I've been in Patrick's basement. He does have every song on Earth.
That's right. Every song under the sun.
So You can be like Mr. Brown or Echo Park Jimmy. You can go to iTunes. You can rate and review the show. It's really just that simple. These people are very nice to us. We hope you are too.
We would appreciate it.
Okay, we're back. Let's get back to the Chuck Prophet interview.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
There was a time when getting your music out there, you were completely dependent upon a label, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I partner up with labels and it's, you know, and we work together and, you know, and I appreciate what they bring to it and they appreciate what I bring to it. Yeah. And
it's a good fit.
And I take suggestions occasionally, you know. Yeah. It happens. But back in the day, you know, yeah, I mean, that was how people, I guess, defined success was, you know, selling a lot of records. And people thought like, well, if, you know, if musicians don't get money, then how are we going to have music? I think even David Byrne has taken that approach.
That's right.
You know? And, you know, I didn't really get into it for the money. I mean, right. I want to be comfortable, but I think my biggest fear is not so much being broke. My biggest fear is that I won't be able to do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
That's really more important to me than anything. Like, well, if I come up with a batch of songs, you know, am I going to be able to figure out a way to make a record, you know? And you got to get more creative as the years go on. Yep. I mean, I've just had to get more creative and I think it's made me better. Sometimes it's hard to tell if you're the rider or the train. Sometimes it's hard to tell if you're the dreamer or the dream. I think that I was lucky that I've been in bands, you know, I've been in bands since I was like 12 years old, and we didn't even call it songwriting, you know. We only had a singer and you know, we got to get some stuff together. We got to make up some songs and so I think, you know, I developed an ability to collaborate early on. Beyond that, you know, I don't know. I mean, when I first got into rock and, you know, music, I was really mostly into the records, you know. Yeah. And then one afternoon I was watching daytime television with my mom. And God, I must have been like 8 or 9 years old or something. And Iggy Pop came on the Dinah Shore show, right? He came out. He was talking to Dinah Shore, and they were real cute together. And then he went out on stage, and he had the Sales Brothers, and Bowie was playing keyboards, and he ripped his shirt off. You know what? I don't know what I gotta do, but when I grow up, I just want to hang out with guys like that.
Right.
You know, so I didn't even think of myself as a musician. You know?
Yeah,
and that's really how it started for me. You know, I would have played whatever it took to be in the band.
Right.
You know, and eventually, when Green on Red kind of, you know, we didn't so much break up. We just kind of went out of business.
Yeah.
Eventually, when that happened, you know, myself and a bunch of my friends like Patrick Winningham and this guy Steve Yerke, and so we took over this back room at this club in San Francisco and started playing acoustically. And then, you know, I started getting interested in quieter music and writing songs. You know, when I met Stephanie Finch and I started learning about harmony, and we were listening to Graham and Amy Lou, of course, and we were listening to Richard and Linda, and that stuff informed what we were doing. And we were, you know, we used to always close, when we did those shows, we would always close with The Wait, you know, and everybody would take a verse.
Right.
And I just wanted to write a song better than The Wait.
Well,
you know, that's all. I was like, we got to write a song to replace that song.
Wow.
And that's kind
of. That's a bar.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, you know, you got to reach.
Yeah. Have you done it yet?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think any of them have either.
No, absolutely not. It was a downhill slide.
Yeah.
So you mentioned your wife who you tour with, and she plays keyboards in the band.
Yeah.
For many years now, I saw you play at IOTA in 2005, I believe, when I was working for the Washington Post, and she was playing with the band then.
Yeah.
How did that meeting take place? How did you first meet her?
Well, I mean, we, like I said, we used to have this kind of poker night where we would all, you know, play guitars and sing at the back room of this club. And then people started showing up. And then, you know, I was singing and Stephanie would join in with her voice. And I just thought it was cool, you know. I didn't even, you know, it was harmony.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we became thick as thieves and started out just kind of playing acoustic, and she had an accordion, and oftentimes we would open for bands or whatever, and then we got an upright bass player, and then from there we just kind of evolved, you know, and started making records for a British label, and then another British label, and then I think another British label, and then eventually around 1999, you know, we bought an Econoline, and, you know, we had a record out for the first time in the States, really, with anything, you know, bordering on a label.
Yep.
And we started touring, you know, and we've just tried to keep it going.
Crashing in the van?
Easy. Easily, yeah. And we've kept it going. And,
yeah.
And so that's really... and, of course, we got married along the way and stuff like that.
Somewhere
and,
along there.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's... In many ways, it's her band. I feel like I work for her.
Did you merge your record collections at some point?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That was a big moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a big one.
Right.
Oh, when we started out, we fought all the time. Dumb and afraid. And out of our minds.
So, Patrick.
Yes.
I just think it's really funny that you would, that anyone would sort of set the bar like wanting to write a song better than The Weight, as if that could be done.
That's not possible.
No.
Yeah. I mean, that's a high bar to set.
I mean, it's on my Perfect Pop playlist.
There
you
want to
check that out on Spotify, The Weight. I mean, that's one of those songs.
Say no more.
You and I have talked about this before. That's one of those songs that you almost can't imagine like anybody actually writing.
That's
right. It feels like it just sort of like was dropped down from the heavens.
There was a time when that didn't exist. What?
That's right.
Yeah.
The Weight. So, but that was funny. That was really funny stuff. So that was good. All right. That was part two of the interview with Chuck Prophet.
Yep.
Part three is tomorrow. We hope you'll join us again for that.
If you've come this far, there's no way
you absolutely
won't
should.
To it.
I mean, you know, the guy's a great talker, so you're going to want to hear this.
And if you came in the middle, go back to the beginning.
That's right. Tomorrow's episode, he's going to talk about his time in his first band, Green on Red.
Big, big band for me.
And then he's going to talk a little bit about music today.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's a funny story regarding Lucinda Williams. I think you'll want to hear that, too.
It really is.
Yes. So, tune into that. You can find it on iTunes or Audio Boom or Stitcher or TuneIn.
Mm-hmm.
The show is Rock in the Suburbs. You know that already. You can also find our website. It's suburbspod.com.
Yes, you can.
You can find us also on social media. A lot of people do that these days. It's Facebook and or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's also at suburbspod. And you can email us, rock@suburbspod.com. And you can also call us. That's what we really want you to do. Call the Suburban Party Line. It is 612-440-1984. Leave a message about Chuck Prophet and or Iggy Pop, Dinosaur, The Weight, Chuck Berry, whatever you want to talk about. Just go on and on. We want you to talk so long that it has to like cut you off, right?
Right. We have to get a new reel of answering machine tape.
That's right. That'd be great. Okay. All right. Tune in again tomorrow. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
This is Rock in the Suburbs. And we'll be back tomorrow with more from Chuck Prophet.
let your cannonball now to take me down the line. My bag is sinking low, and I do believe it's time to get back to Miss Fanny. You know she's the only one who sent me here with the regards for everyone. Take a load off Fanny. Take a load, breathe. Take a load off Fanny.
And you put the load right on.
Chuck Prophet, rock and roll star.
Rock and roll troubadour. Absolutely.
Well, until we can
prove otherwise.
Until a real one comes along.